Hi, friends. Welcome to the Seek Holy Living podcast with Krista Svoboda. I am a wife to my wonderful husband, mom to my five precious children, and a friend to some amazing moms that I can't wait to introduce to you. Mothering is not a journey meant to be traveled alone. Join me every Monday for a new podcast where you will find hope, joy, and purpose. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas celebration with your family and are just moving into this next week with your heart just filled to overflowing and just so very blessed by this holiday season with family, with Thanksgiving and then with Christmas and now moving into New Year's. But I also realize that this season can kind of bring a lot of emotions with it too, that as the mom, we carry so much to get the things done and to serve all of the people and to make sure that all of the hearts are being truly tended to. I think that as a mom who truly cares about reaching the hearts of my children, I care about it so deeply that it can also come with almost a heaviness or a stress along with that, wanting so deeply to reach the hearts of each of them and tend to everyone well. So there can also be a weariness that comes along, and that's okay. I think that that's a natural thing. But I wanted to bring a conversation to you today that would meet us in that place. So whether you're in a place of a full heart that has just been met and filled to overflowing or a weary heart, I believe that this is really going to be a blessing to you today, especially because I brought my mom back with me today, which is such a treat. It has been a while since we've been on together, and not because we haven't been together, but because our lives are full and our daily lives together with all of our kids and ministry and all of that. So I'm so thankful, though, that we had the opportunity to be able to do this for you today. My mom, if you have not gotten to meet her in this place, you were just in for such a treat today. She's such a blessing to me, just one of my very best friends. She and my dad, her name is Connie, not just mom, Nana to many others. And actually, when we release this podcast, it will almost be 11 grandbabies because there's another one coming in January and then mine is coming the end of February. So many grandbabies in my mom's life. And she is mom to four of us. I am the oldest of the four kids in our family. And she and my dad, John, have been married for 42 years tomorrow when this podcast is released. So wonderful to be able to celebrate God's goodness in their lives. And that's kind of what we're talking about today, is looking back, reflecting back on what has happened in our lives, whether it be our lives as a whole or just over this last year, and rejoicing in the goodness of what God has done. So, Mom, thank you for being here with us for this conversation today.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to it. Thanks for having me again.
Well, I know that I wish that we could every time. I wish we could just sit down at a coffee shop and set up a mic and have a conversation, but lots of activity going around us normally when we're together.
It's true.
So reflecting and rejoicing, let's talk about first, what do you think that that means to reflect and rejoice?
Well, I think so much about, I've talked to you so much about this over the years that as soon as we talked about this, doing this topic, I thought of the stones of remembrance in scripture. And it's something that has become such a big part of my life, of laying down those stones of remembrance.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that we've talked about, like you said, so many times that it was kind of funny. You know, I always talk with whoever I'm having the conversation with before, and mom and I had almost the exact same passages written down. And of course, it's because you were the voice speaking into me for so many years about these things. So I'm thankful for that. But yes, I've been studying with my kids in the Old Testament for a long time. We're going so slowly through the children's Bible, and it's been such a good study that we're going through. And in the Old Testament, in Joshua 3 through 4, when the Israelites cross over the Jordan, and in Joshua 4, verses 6 through 8, Joshua's instructing them to gather up the stones and has one of each of the tribe to gather up one of the stones and then lay it down as a place of remembrance. And he explains very specifically when your children ask about these things to remind them, this is how we remember God's goodness, that God brought us out of Egypt and God has provided for us. And I thought it was interesting as I reread the passage in Joshua 4 that he explains it in verses 6-8. But then again, at the end, he says it again. And whenever something is in scripture twice, it's almost feels like it's like hammering the nail in further, that don't miss this. This is very important.
Yeah. And I love the way he specifically said, so when you pass by these stones with your children,
yes,
and they say, what are these stones for? And you say, oh, let me tell you of God's faithfulness.
Yeah, that's like that passage in Deuteronomy 6 that we've talked about so many times. Talk about these things when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, because it's literally when they're walking along the road to talk about God's goodness and God's provision in their lives.
Right.
Yeah. So that's really the reflecting part, is we look back and we remember God's goodness, and then we rejoice in how he's going to continue to provide for us, you know, in the future.
Yes. And that's what, so when I think about, those were the, like the stones of remembrance. And then there's other times in scripture where he doesn't specifically talk about stones, but it's doing the same thing. It's reflecting on God's faithfulness and his goodness. And I loved a passage that I have found in Psalm 77, 10 and 11, and it explains the importance of reflection. The psalmist says, and I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. And then he goes on and says, you are the God who does wonders. And then he lists all the wonders of God. And so it's just another example that when we reflect and rejoice upon God's faithfulness in the past, it causes us to trust him with our futures. And that's mm-hmm. how our confidence in God grows.
Mm-hmm. I did an episode not too long ago, and I believe it was in November, early November, maybe even late October, that I released it, called Do the Next Thing or Do the Next Right Thing. And we talked about this, about how we are so blessed now in today's day and age that it's easy for us to even take for granted that we have God's word to look back on his faithfulness, that we can see his faithfulness through thousands of years mm-hmm. of faithfulness to his people over and over, that we can really rely on his goodness and his faithfulness by reflecting on the things he's done, who he is, even the names of God in the past. But we also have our own personal testimonies. But how different it was for the people in the Old Testament, that they did not have, I mean, they had the Pentateuch eventually, but at the very beginning, they didn't even have that. They just knew of God's faithfulness. I mean, Abraham was having to just trust God's faithfulness day by day, step at a time in his own life with his own personal testimony. But we're so blessed to have his word as an example too.
Yes, such a blessing.
And I really liked too, as I have studied the Old Testament festivals, how in the Old Testament, the Israelites had it built into their calendar year, specific times to look back and remember. And again, I think that was really a blessing for teaching too, because it caused them to not forget to continue teaching their children these things. It was almost as if there were built-in reminders into their calendar. This is the time we remind our children about this. Because I'm sure that just as our lives get busy and full, their lives could get busy and full, and they could continue on and not remind their children of God's goodness. But those festivals were little built-in reminders for their calendar for them.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you remembered that. And I think it's funny. I remember reading this a lot in scripture. I think for some reason, I think it's in Deuteronomy a lot of times, where God actually says over and over, he'll say, remember not to forget. It's just a funny thing. Remember not to forget.
Yes. Well, let's talk about the New Testament some, because in the New Testament, they did have some scripture to look back on. So that was different than in the Old Testament times. The thing that I thought of in the New Testament where we see rejoicing and reflecting is with the Lord's Supper, which is beautiful to think about since that's something that we still partake in as the church today. That is such a grounding, participatory way of us participating with the church, not just our church, but with the church internationally and the church from our ancestors and generations before us, going back even to Jesus and reflecting and rejoicing on his goodness. And I remember somewhere along the way, a pastor talking about how often when we step into church, our problems seeming so big and God seeming so small. But when we slow down and we worship and we get our hearts right, and I find that so often in communion, that when I do take the Lord's Supper and I slow down and I have my heart right with the Lord, as 1 Corinthians 11 gives very specific instructions of how our heart is to come to the Lord at when we partake of the Lord's Supper, that the problems of the world and the concerns in my world become so small again, because it puts God back on his throne where somewhere along the way, I got those priorities mixed up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other New Testament opportunity is just even thinking about that this is really how the whole church began, was the people reflecting and rejoicing in the resurrection of Jesus in the second chapter of Acts.
And then the Holy Spirit came. Yes. Oh, that's wonderful to think about. So let's talk about our own personal lives now. So during different seasons of your life, when have you practiced this reflecting and rejoicing? It was kind of funny for me to even think about asking you this because it's something that's so natural to you. So I was really glad to get to share this with other people, because I think it's something you're naturally so good at.
Yeah, I'm not really sure when it started. I don't know that it always was natural, but it probably is for as much of the life that you remember. but I think that our moving around a lot early on in our marriage, we moved, the house we live in now was our 14th place to live. So we made a lot of moves early on. And a lot of your early life was spent moving around, as you remember, of course. But so I'm not sure exactly when it started, but it has become a very important part of my faith walk. And it continues to grow my faith and my confidence in the Lord. I think that it was a part of my life with Bible Study Fellowship, where I just learned the questions would ask you things about how do you see this in your life, and it would cause me to need to reflect and to grow in my faith. And then I started journaling, not every day, but when I would read something in scripture that was important, or something important would be going on in my life that I wanted to remember because of seeing God's work, I would journal. And then over the years, actually photographs I've started, you know, taking pictures of things that I think, oh, I don't ever want to forget this. You know, we do that with our children. I don't ever want to forget this. But isn't just, I don't want to forget their sweet faces. It's, I don't want to forget this moment that God has allowed me to have. Mm-hmm. And thinking of those blessings and trying to take pictures. And then I started making these yearbooks the last, I don't know, 5 years or so. I've made yearbooks for our family. And that's something I would never have had time to do when my children were growing up. So please don't put that weight on yourself, mamas. But now that my kids are older, I have time to do some of those things. And even that, I get really behind, but it's worth it. And in those books, I don't just put pictures of everybody. I write in them. These are, you know, books that I'm making online. They're digital books. And so I can write in them, you know, ways that we saw God at work. And those are like stones of remembrance. I want to write those down. And not only am I looking at them, but my children are reading them and my grandchildren are reading them. And I want them to know God's faithfulness in our lives.
Yeah, I've really liked that the books that you make don't just include all of the easy things only, but sometimes include the hard things as well, which that reflection on hard things, I was going to say is hard. That's obviously it's hard, right? But it is. It can feel like you're kind of having to trudge through when you slow down and reflect on something that's hard. But when you do, I believe it also can allow you to give it to the Lord in a different way. And again, you're reflecting. So you're not in the midst of it. You're not sitting in it, but you're looking back and saying, yeah, that was really hard. But God, because we are on the other side of it. So then it allows us to see through right perspective, God's provision or God's goodness or God's faithfulness. And I think BSF helped me with that as well, because you would see, how do you see God's faithfulness in this circumstance?
Right.
And so rather than just looking at the circumstances for what it is, you're also able to see the work of the Lord in the midst of it.
Right. And, you know, I think that was even part of the whole command when God asked Joshua to have each one from each tribe take one of those stones and take them. They had to put their foot in across that river to get to the other side. And so they were having to practice trusting him right then, not knowing, you know, how things were going to work out necessarily and how difficult things had been. But I have one that I wonder if anybody in the family ever even notices anymore. That is a real time. It's a reminder for me to not forget God's faithfulness. In my bedroom, on my dresser, I have a picture of your brother, Brandon, with his friend, Jesse. And it was taken in the airport at LAX just before the two of them boarded an airplane to fly to Bhutan, which is a tiny little country between India and China, where the two of them spent a year. And they went as kind of secret missionaries there because they don't allow missionaries there. But I was really nervous about them going. And I really spent a lot of time in prayer before they left. And God gave me a real peace about it. He challenged me on it. And I realized I care more about having my son near me and feeling like for some reason he's safer when he's near me than I really care about the souls of these Bhutanese people. And once I realized that was kind of the bottom line, I knew I needed to let him go. Mm. And he was going anyway. It was just a matter of me letting him go in my heart. So I did. He went and he spent a year there and he grew in his faith and I grew in my faith. And some of the Bhutanese people may have grown in their faith. We won't know this side of heaven probably. But that picture, that stone of remembrance, has caused my faith to grow, my confidence in God to grow in such a way that since then I've had spiritual muscles to make it through a lot of more opportunities of letting my children go. And you guys have gone different places, moved away, and I've learned to trust. And I still wasn't happy that necessarily, but I knew God's going to do a work that he can't do in my heart and in their hearts if we don't follow him. And I wanted you guys to follow him.
Mm-hmm. I do think that is another reason why it's so important, is that it does, when we reflect on God's goodness and rejoice in it and recognize it for the goodness of what it is, it does build those muscles that if we just go through it, and just keep going and just keep going, we will continue to experience God's goodness. Yes, because God will still be faithful in our lives, but we're missing out on that extra blessing of that strengthening. And it almost makes me think of that passage that talks about, you know, spiritual food and the difference between just being on spiritual milk and like being a baby in that way, or maturing and being more mature in your faith. And when you choose to reflect back on God's goodness, whether it be by yourself or with your spouse or with your children, just in your day-to-day life or as a habitual rhythm, like they practice in the Old Testament, then you grow in those ways. And that's important. So let's talk about some of those ways too. During different seasons of the year, kind of as a regular rhythm, how we have our yearly calendar, which is not the same as the Jewish calendar, but we have our own yearly calendar. What are some of the ways that you practice this reflecting and rejoicing during the calendar year?
Well, I think, you know, it's kind of obvious ones like Easter and Christmas. Mm-hmm. Those are obvious ones. Even Thanksgiving, you know, we can make each of those an opportunity to reflect on what God has done and his faithfulness. At Easter, you know, obviously we're going to think about God's faithfulness, that he promised that he would raise Jesus from the dead, and he did. And so we reflect on that, and it gives us such a good opportunity, even for the smallest child. I still can remember, Krista, when you were so little, I think we have a video somewhere where I ask you just before you dug into your Easter basket, and tell me, Krista, what is the real story of Easter? And you said, Jesus came alive again. So even the youngest child can begin to understand God's goodness.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we do some of that at this time of year, thinking about this being released around New Year's time. That's something that we started as a habit before we even had children. When we would have friends over and gather together for New Year's, and we would all stand in a circle, and before doing like a New Year's countdown and like cheers or anything like that, we would go around and all share something of ways that God had been faithful to us that year. And I think back, it's kind of funny to think about because we were so young at the time, and our friend group was completely different than what it is now, the people who we were with and gathering with, but how that was just a regular rhythm of something that we did and that now we continue to do, but now we do it with children and many of them. And so when we're gathered with these, with other families, and we all will sit together and, you know, smush together in one room with so many children and bodies, and say, okay, so what are some things that your family's thankful for? And to go around, and it's funny because of course it's not all still as it was when it was all young adults, and there may still be a little bit of discomfort or shuffling of feet going on of people who maybe didn't expect to be asked what they were thankful for God's faithfulness in at a New Year's party. But for the most part, when we're with children too, all of those moments are just so natural and comfortable because children are excited to share and to talk and to get to have a chance to be a part of something. And so that's something that we've always done as a family. And I did see someone do something similar to this just within their own family. I've seen a few things that I thought were neat ideas. If you wanted to do something tangible, we haven't done these specific ones just because I feel like for us, just saying it together and having that memory, especially since we bring in other families normally at that time, is really enough. But if your family is the kind that you really want something tangible to hold on to, I've heard of people doing it where they literally write on stones, like actual mm-hmm. rocks, ways that they have seen God's faithfulness, and put it in a jar and then keep that jar as a reminder of stones of remembrance for their family, or a vase. And I also have seen where people got an empty ornament and have little slips of paper and then wrote on their paper ways that they saw God's faithfulness that year and then slid it into the ornament. So then the next year they would have that ornament to put on the tree as a reminder of ways that God had been faithful to them. So I thought those were sweet ideas of things yearly around this New Year's time of year that people mm-hmm. can do. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned the picture thing. A couple of things I thought of relating to that kind of jogged a couple of things in my mind. One is, at birthdays, we do something where everyone at the table, we say that they're blessings, but it is remembrance and rejoicing when you think about it, because you're remembering back the year past with that person and rejoicing in the work that God has done in them and rejoicing in who they are and the gift that they are. And speaking those blessings out loud has really been a wonderful gift to our family. And to see the different blessings that different siblings see in each other, that maybe you wouldn't naturally just have a time to say out loud in front of other people, those things that you think, but to speak those out loud and to watch the hearts of the one that's being spoken into just be so filled. And you know, it's funny with different ages of children, we all say them to the baby and the baby's just sitting there kicking his feet, like having no clue what's going on. And there's certain ages where I know when everyone's eyes are on you and they're speaking about you, it can just feel awkward and you have to like make a joke after everybody's statement of blessing. But regardless, those are things reflecting on how God has worked in them. And that's been really special for us. And then another thing with that too, especially as a homeschool family, when we are with our homeschool group at the end of the year, we do an end of the year celebration where we call it, you know, a promotion night or a graduation, but it's really a celebration of reflecting and remembering and rejoicing in God's goodness of what he's been doing in the lives of each of our children. And having that opportunity to speak out loud in front of other homeschool families who are all there, specifically about the goodness of what God has done in each of their lives, so that they get to hear you, your children, not the audience. I mean, they're there too, and that's great, but really so your children get to hear, wow, this is what my mom and dad think about me in front of other people. I mean, I remember when I was the homeschooled child and you guys were speaking those blessings of remembering and reflecting over the last year and rejoicing in the work that God was doing in us. And you would, I mean, as a kid, you just leave feeling like a million bucks. And as a parent, it causes you to remember, this is the most important. Mm-hmm. And these are the most important things we're doing. So you still may not be able to spell worth beans, right? but your heart is growing to the Lord. And it does, it resets our eyes. Again, it puts our eyes, our priorities back where they are supposed to be when we reflect and rejoice in the work that God is doing.
For sure. And I think that those opportunities of speaking blessings to your children, over your children, remembering things they've done, rejoicing over the things they've done, or who they are, who they're becoming, who they're growing, how they're growing in their faith. I think that we can't even begin to imagine the value of that in their lives. I watch the children's faces, even just recently, we celebrated birthdays. Well, not too long ago when we celebrated, we celebrate a month of birthdays all together as a family here. And just seeing their little faces when it's their turn and the whole room sings happy birthday in the funny way that we all sing.
It's very big and loud, in case you were wondering.
It's very big.
Extremely big and loud. Maybe one day I'll record it and share it.
But to see their little faces when it's their turn, they just can't help but just enjoy every moment of their time. And so I just think it's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned the picture book thing too. So I love that you preface that with your season right now, because we just recently talked about this, you and I did, and how it is for sure not my season to make photo books, but someday maybe that will happen. But regardless, when I look back at pictures with my children of the last year, and I would encourage you to do that sometime this week, as you're going into New Year's, spend time to just pull out your phone or the iPad or the computer or wherever your pictures are, and sit with your kids and scroll back through those pictures, because so often it's easy for me, maybe not anyone else, maybe it's just me, to think back on the things I wish I had done differently, or the things I didn't get to do enough of, or the things I had to say no to, you know, the things other people did that I didn't do. But when I look back and see the things we did do and see their faces and the moments we had together, it just really blesses me to remember, no, I'm doing these things. I'm doing the important things. Again, it gets my perspective right again.
And you know, it's so interesting. You would think, you know, I'm 61 years old now. You would think that I would kind of have a lot of things in life figured out. And yet I'm learning every day. And I can do that to myself, that I can like look at how all of you are parenting your children. And I think, oh, you know, was I that fun of a mom? Did I enjoy it as much as I wish I had enjoyed it? You know, I think I did, but I don't know. And I go back and watch an old home video and I listen to your dad and I laughing in the video and enjoying each of you. And I remember we did enjoy it. It was really fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked about a lot of reasons that this is important to reflect and rejoice in God's goodness, that it helps us to be more obedient. It helps us to trust and move forward in obedience. It builds our muscles and strengthens us. And another reason I was thinking about this being really important at this time of year too, to reflect and rejoice in God's goodness in our own lives, is that sometimes coming off of the holidays, there can be a letdown, almost like a bit of a depression or this adrenaline drop that happens, especially as the mom. We probably haven't slept enough. We probably haven't been eating great and are tired. And if you're not any of those things, then don't tell me, because I just like to pretend like I'm not alone in this boat. But I think sometimes in that letdown, it can be easy to just sit in that place of, I don't know, I don't want to call it depression because it's not depression, but it is. It's a letdown after the high of the season and the blessings of togetherness. And also after being together, it can sometimes be easy to become critically minded. Like you were saying, even looking back at us, that we've been with these people, and it would be very easy to become critically minded of ourselves and think, why don't we do this different? Maybe we should be more like this. Like, why does their child play piano so perfectly or eat all of the food on their plate and not complain, or whatever the thing is that they do? Or it can go the other way too, where we can become critically minded of others and think, wow, that was just the most irritating thing to be around whoever that person was and the way they raised their children. And I'm so thankful we don't do it that way. And neither of those are holy places for us to be, that those are not God-honoring places for our minds to be. So just thinking about during this time, as we reflect on the last week or two or three or whatever it's been of time close with people that maybe we're not normally rubbing shoulders quite as closely with, as we reflect on those times, to really take those thoughts to the Lord and to take our thoughts captive. You know, scripture tells us to take every thought captive and to make it obedient unto the Lord. And that we can do that. We can choose, instead of allowing our mind to wander, to pause and pray for our own hearts and pray for the hearts of our family members and rejoice in the things where we saw God's goodness over this time, and even rejoice in advance for the good work He's going to do.
Yes. And I think in advance is a good plan too. When you're going to be with a lot of other people, whether it's family, whether it's good friends, you know, there's always things. And so we can choose how we're going to prepare our hearts and then how we're going to respond.
Yes. Yes. Well, are there any other thoughts that you had on the importance of this or ways that we should be practicing this in our own lives before we close? I know that I had talked about having you close in prayer at the end, so I'll let you do that in a minute. But before we do, you can think on that if there's anything else you wanted to add. Next week, I'm going to give everyone listening a little heads up that I'm super excited for next week's podcast. I actually recorded it a long time ago, but I want to give you a little preview on what's coming, because moving into the new year, you know, there's always talks about diet or health or exercise or things like that. And I am super excited to be kicking off a sugar fast with Wendy Speak that she does every year in the new year. And this will be my third year doing it with her in the new year time. And if you want a little preview of what goes on in the sugar fast conversation, go back to last December, so the 2021 December recordings, and look for my podcast that I did with Wendy Speak called Triggers, because I share in that episode about my own personal experience with the sugar fast, and it will give you a little preview taste into the conversation that Wendy and I will be having with you next week. And I'm going to invite you to join this fast with me. So you can start praying about it if you want to this week. Lord, is a sugar fast something you would have for me? And if you're like, absolutely not, then I challenge you to listen to the episode, because I really think it could be a blessing to every single one of you and probably your children too. So that will be more for next week. But Mom, before we wrap up today, was there anything else that you wanted to chime in on or add in before we close?
Just the idea that of that one psalm that I mentioned, I think I said it was Psalm 77, mm-hmm. That just when we come to God in anguish, when we come to Him with concerns, anxieties, things that are difficult for you, that when we remember His faithfulness in the past, it will give us confidence that we can trust Him in this new circumstance, whatever it may be in your life that you're facing right now. And that confidence brings peace and will help us to grow those spiritual muscles that we'll need, because there will always be new circumstances where you're going to need Him.
Amen. Well, why don't we close in prayer? Will you pray for us, Mom?
Yes, I'd love to. Father, how wonderful it is to imagine that you already know exactly who will listen to this message, this conversation that we've had today, and that you know exactly what's going on in each of their hearts, the good things, the really great things, and the hard things. And Father, I pray that you would help them, each mom that's listening today, that you would help her to reflect, to think about, to remember who you are. And the bigger you are in our lives, the smaller the hardships are in our lives. And so I pray that you would help each of us today to think about who you are and your work in our lives in the past, and cause us to have more confidence in you handling our futures. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Merry Christmas for one last time, and Happy New Year this week. And I look forward to being with you all back again next week. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of our weekly conversations. And check out our show notes below, where I have links to the resources mentioned on the podcast. I release a new podcast every Monday and additional content at seekholyliving.com, including a video of this conversation and a deeper dive into all things mom. Also, be sure to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Seek Holy Living for more fun and conversation. If this was an encouragement to you, please share it with your friends.